for Holly, who is in the studio now. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a good little day out there.
It is. And you're playing tonight at the Old School.
I am indeed, yes.
All right. Before we get to that, tell us a bit about yourself, Holly.
Yeah, sure. So, I hail from the Coromandel and kind of new to Whangaroa, but my family sort of has roots here and my sister lives here, so it's sort of, yeah, I've always been coming to this neck of the woods and love it here. So I moved over recently, made the move, and haven't looked back.
Must be a tough decision. It's beautiful out the Coromandel as well.
Yeah. It is very beautiful. I think what I love about here is it just feels like there's lots of people doing cool things. There's, yeah, lots of artists and musicians, and it feels like there's a good culture and lots of people that care about the environment. So it feels like a good place to try and call home, although I won't say that I'm a local. Yeah, not for another 20 years.
Yeah, some people like that around here for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so you were just saying you got a band, YS. Is that how you say it, or just say Yiz or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at picking band names that no one can remember or understand. So I used to have a band in the UK, a little folk duo called, it was pronounced Ys, but it was spelt YS. It's like it's a French, well, it's actually a story about a French mythical, magical island. Get really into the kind of folklore kind of stuff. And
what was it with this island?
Sorry, say that again.
What was the story with the island?
Oh, well,
I love these sort of stories.
Yeah, so I get really, really into, yeah, folk stories and, you know, magic and fairy tales, and that all gets my imagination and my songwriting going. So it was actually funny. I had this idea of this island. I'd heard about the story that I thought was a sort of fairy kingdom called Ys, meant to be off the coast of Brittany in France. But sort of halfway through, we, you know, me and had a little folk duo. We called ourselves Ys. Turned out to be a terrible band name because no one could remember it or pronounce it, and also you can't even search for it because it's only two letters. Anyway, I was like, yeah, it's this fairy island, telling people about it. They're like, oh, let's have a Google. I was like, because I couldn't remember the story properly, and it turned out to be this really debaucherous, terrible island of sin that got sunk under the sea. So, right. Yeah, who knows what that was all about.
Interesting. Yeah, no, there's a lot of stories like that from all parts of the world, aren't there? You know, like, you know, the people who played up on the island and got sunk, you know, and this and that. I know there's one just out in the Pacific, wasn't there? Moomoo Land, that was supposed to be a similar thing, got sunk.
Oh, right.
But that's got another name for it. But anyways, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of stories kind of like that about, you know, debauchery and that, and people playing up, and then boom, get sunk, and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, like Noah, eh? The Great Myth Flood and all that. There's, and in South America, again, there's those flood sort of myths and that. So it's just interesting how different, diverse cultures throughout the world have got the same kind of yarns. You know?
Yeah, it is. That's one of the things I love about folk music, and I discovered that when I was living in the UK. I was just fascinated by how folk songs would change and kind of respond to the culture or the time they were in, as well as like the landscapes they were in. Like, yeah, you could did this really cool workshop with a folk singer over there, and we spent time listening to like the bird song in different areas, and then he would talk about melodies of the local folk tunes and how they'd been influenced by this bird song. And you could hear the same kind of song over in, say, the next village with different words to it. Or like, I just think it's so interesting how they sort of change and shift, and I guess they sort of tell stories of our culture and our heritage, and I guess kind of inspire. They inspire something in me anyway, for sure, and they get your imagination kind of, yeah, alive, I guess.
So do you remember you play guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, play guitar.
Play anything else?
I do. I play the Highland pipes.
Cool.
The bagpipes, yeah. But I won't be playing them tonight because they're too much. They're too much for an inside space. And they're also, pretty hard to jam too.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful sound. I love the pipes.
Yeah.
Really stirs something in me, I think, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Whenever I sort of play them, if I'm playing them in sort of like a neighbourhood or something like that, it always draws either people like are really excited or else they run away. And Yeah, it's not for everyone, but yeah. And I'm also playing with my friend who plays the violin tonight, so she sort of does harmonies with me and plays the violin or does sort of fiddle tunes. So that'll be really cool.
So just the two of you guys, or
I'm also going to be joined by my mum Becky, who's does her own kind of folk music as well. So she's in town for the weekend and going to do harmonies. So yeah, there'll be three of us doing songs with harmonies and also violin, guitar, and kind of probably telling a few stories in between.
All right. And when did you get on? When are you on? Sorry, tonight, I should say. That's what I was going to say.
7:30 p.m. tonight. 7:30. And okay. I think we're on first. And then there's two other musicians playing after us, Ruth Power and I think it's Kathy and the Music Lovers. Yeah, so that will be really cool. I'm looking forward to hearing
Have you heard
them
any of them before? Or?
No, I haven't. But I'm intrigued. Yeah,
it should
be
interesting.
It's cool. It's really cool that this event happens every month and supports local artists to be able to play their music for people and share. So it's a really good opportunity for people to hear local music, and it seems like there's quite a wealth of it in this community. So that's
for sure,
exciting.
Is it a koha entry thing? Or?
Yes, koha entry, and so that's even better.
Yeah, for sure. And are you in, whereabouts are you there in old school?
Are you
like
question.
Where they play the movies, or
I actually don't know. I don't know where we'll be. I assume we'll probably be there.
Yeah, that's what I think they usually have the gigs, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure we won't be too hard to find.
Yeah,
listen out for the music.
Yeah. Keep your ears peeled when you get there.
Yeah.
7:30. Okay. And when did you first pick up the guitar?
I think I picked it up when I was maybe like 16 and just started mucking around. Both my parents play music, so there was lots of singing and lots of guitar playing and all of that growing up. So I was lucky to be quite sort of surrounded by music, and all of my aunties and stuff sing as well. So our family was sort of a musical kind of a bit like the Von Trapps, but not as many children. Right. So it was kind of like we're always singing, and I guess that really just helped me to discover music and maybe not be afraid to just try things out. Mm. I mean, I have sort of spent years mucking around on different instruments and probably not getting amazing at any of them, but at least I enjoy doing it, and I love singing. So I think that's probably the thing about maybe my music that I appreciate the most, is just the sort of opportunity for different harmonies. And I know that, that's something special. Yeah, singing with my mum as well has always been something I really love doing. So, finding tunes and melodies that you can, really share with other people and share with other voices is, that means a lot to me.
Mm. Do you remember when you wrote your first song?
Yeah, I think that would have been on the guitar when I was 16.
Yeah.
It was definitely would have been a love song.
Yeah.
And it definitely probably wasn't that great, but you love and learn.
Yeah. Trial and error, that's life, eh?
Exactly.
And so when did you go over to England then?
I went over in, I think it was 2017. I moved over to the UK for a job over there, doing kind of environmental campaigning stuff, and was already sort of playing music at the time with someone, and so we and she was from England, so we actually moved over to England together and played folk tunes, and started sort of getting gigs on the local festival scene and at random pubs, and it's a very incredible and rich culture of folk music over there, so it was sort of quite easy to meet other musicians and get gigs and end up all over the place playing music with different people.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very inspiring, I think, time for me in terms of just meeting other musicians that, I guess really love sort of folk music. And I'm quite into the sort of, even though my music's not super traditional folk, it's definitely inspired by that kind of music. And it was really cool to meet other people that were into that, because you don't meet as much of them over here.
Is it quite a collaborative sort of scene? Like, Well, I spent a year in Ireland, and basically anyone with an instrument just turned up at the pub, and then boom, they just started playing traa. Is it kind of like that, the folk scene? Or
yeah, it was. Maybe less so in England. I noticed that more when I went to Ireland for a holiday. I really noticed that, and that would blow my mind. It was so cool. But no, I did find that lots of people. Yeah, so it'd be sort of groups of friends, and anyone would sort of come along with their instruments, and you just kind of have a laugh and make merry. And it seemed like, yeah, if you're going to some sort of event, there'd just definitely be someone there with another instrument, which is really cool. So, like, you know, if you're at a party and you didn't want to be on the D floor, you could head outside to the fire, and there's bound to be someone with a guitar or a banjo or a mandolin or something. Yeah, it was really cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
You've played a mandolin?
I have a little bit. I've mucked around, and I've mucked around on a banjo and really enjoyed that too. But yeah, mostly just stuck with the guitar and the old pipes.
Yeah. I love the bagpipes, yeah. No,
that's such I'm glad you're a fan. You're a fan.
Yeah, it must be the Scottish bit of me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
People stirs by it all. okay, so 2019, it's not so long ago. So you must have been playing. Did you have, like, before you went over there, were you playing gigs over here in New Zealand?
Very tiny gigs. I remember we had a pretty fun little thing going on at the ice cream shop in Waihee Beach. We'd get free ice creams and we'd bask outside.
Sweet.
So that was a regular gig. But I wouldn't say that I was sort of hitting the big time. Yeah. I mean, I never really have, to be honest. But I've just sort of been on the outskirts playing random gigs. I think our probably downfall was both of us were not super organized and good at marketing, or so we just sort of find really random places to play music. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's part of playing here tonight and wanting to actually put a bit more effort into sharing my songs again. I sort of took a bit of a hiatus when I got back from the UK and was just quite busy with other things in life. But I sort of have realized recently that I want to get back into playing music again, and it's been really nice starting to jam with other people, because songs just sound so much better when you play with other people and you have those harmonies and other instruments to add so much magic to it. So yeah, it's been really nice playing with my friend Britta, who's going to be playing tonight on the violin, because she's a beautiful musician and excellent at harmonies. So we've been having lots of fun jamming together.
All right. How long have you spent getting ready for this one?
Well, luckily we've been doing a few little gigs recently back over in the Coromandel. So we had to practice for them anyway, so we've kind of been getting into the groove for that. And she lives up in Tamaki Makaurau in Auckland, so we don't get to practice as much as I would like, but she came down last night, so we're going to practice today.
All right. Yeah. Well, got plenty of time anyway before 7:30, so
yeah, exactly,
Right. Will we be playing over Coromandel ways?
Played at the Kauranga Valley Hall and the Little Theatre in Paidoa, so...
Okay.
Just the local spots. It was really fun. Yeah, my mum plays folk music she's got another little folk duo that she plays with. And so we kind of did a bit of a collab with her band. And I also have another friend who plays clarinet with me, so he was part of that. He couldn't make it to this show tonight. But so the five of us kind of put together an evening of songs and stories and that kind of thing, and it would be nice to do more of them, so yeah, that's something I'd like to make happen.
Okay. And stories, what, they're the kind of folk stories that you weave into your songs?
Not so much as telling stories, although I've always thought that would be quite cool to get into, but more stories in songs. So yeah, some of the songs I do are kind of my own ones, which have their own kind of stories. But then I also play traditional songs, which always have, there's quite a few of them that I sing that I really love. And yeah, they all kind of have their own tales. There's some about, a lot of them are quite sad. Some like love songs of things that have gone wrong. And
lots of those ones, like,
lots of that. And gosh, what else? There's the other thing with folk songs as well, though, that I really love is they kind of, I do think they can give us perspective or like inspire something in us around, like, you know, say courage or like standing up for what you believe in. There's a whole sort of really amazing bunch of folk songs that I haven't delved into as much yet, but I'd like to, that are around like, you know, sort of workers' rights and standing up to the Lord. And it sort of, I guess, is similar to some of the sort of environmental work, I guess, maybe I've done in my life. And I sort of feel like those songs can sort of inspire us to find that courage to stand up for what we believe in. And so, yeah, there's sort of a whole bunch of tunes and songs out there that have sort of deeper meanings. And
from all the UK and the States.
Tons of them. And then there's all the ones that are just tragic love stories as well.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now, just on Wednesday, I was playing an old blues track from the 1920s by Mississippi John Hurt. And it was about John Henry. And I know Woody Guthrie's also done a song about John Henry. Do you know anything about John Henry? I don't.
I know.
I was meant to look into it, but I didn't. But I just thought you might. Because something used to be like a spike driver on the railway tracks.
Right, okay, yeah.
I presume it's like a workers' rights thing or something like that. But
okay.
I must look into it a bit more. But
I don't know about John Henry. There's a really cool song called The Nail Maker's Strike about nail makers rebelling against like their masters, I guess. Like, and a lot around, there seems to be a lot around mining and like the coal mines and sort of lots of stories of like people losing their, you know, their loved ones to the mines and having to stand up and just the amount of pay they'd get that was like literally nothing.
Did you break a few of those ones out in the Kakarangi Valley?
Yeah, so
a few of those miners ones?
Yeah, well, yes. So over in the Coromandel, I was part of a action group called Protect Karangahake, which is also part of Coromandel Watchdog. Protecting the Coromandel area from gold mining, because that's, as many people know, is quite a hot spot for mining and gold mining. And so, we had a really, this is actually a couple of years ago, so not our most recent gig, but we had a really, beautiful kind of inspiration to take local musicians on the road and tour around the Coromandel, singing songs either sort of dedicated to the mountain or, talking about those stories. And, it was really cool. Ended up with like a really cool bunch of local musicians from Karangahake, singing those songs. And I think it's really cool when you can, make that connection between your music and your art and then also lend that to a cause you believe in. I feel like that is, that's definitely where it's at, I reckon. Mm. It makes you feel good, and it's also really cool getting the chance to use your creativity for good. So, I love seeing... I do sort of climate kind of action work and or organising work, and I love seeing it when musicians or artists or get creative with the activism and use that to tell a story and to get people engaged and on board kind of thing. That's a beautiful thing.
For sure, And when was your last gig?
Last gig was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, that would have been, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Happy with it?
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun, yeah.
So you and Britta, was your mum there for that one as well? Or?
Yeah. So that was a sort of the collab with my mum's band called Clay and Dove, and then our band currently called Dolly and the Hooves, another random band name. I keep basically having new band, new formations of people playing songs, and then we just call ourselves something different every time, which doesn't help getting people to follow your music or know who the hell you are. But So I'm basically always on the hunt for a new band name, so open to suggestions.
Okay. I'll have to think about it. Yeah. All right. Well, So you're selling 7:30 tonight. Anything else you kind of want to add?
I guess just, yeah, it's a really lovely opportunity to be able to hear local musicians and support them. And, you know, music is the lifeblood of our culture. So, yeah, whenever you get a chance to listen to live music, take it, I reckon.
For sure, absolutely.
And, yeah, also appreciate just the people that organise live and local and making it happen and finding those artists and getting funding to be able to put it on. And it's really a cool thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely it is, yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, have you heard of the Maui Hau Monster? Of course, right at the tip of the Coromandel there.
Oh, I have, but I don't actually know. I'm from down the bottom and I haven't spent enough time up there to... What's tell me the story.
I don't really know the whole story either, but like we used to go up as kids, we used to go up to Port Charles all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like right up that's top a cool, there, cool yeah, spot.
Cool spot. And there's always talk, you hear little rumours around about the Maui Hau Monster really? And how he might have been spotted here and there. And
oh, that's super interesting.
And it was, yeah, what is it? What was it, a patu paerehe?
Oh, yeah.
Was it that kind of creature? And their stories, it was like that, because they're quite pale and skinny with, like, big bulging eyes. Or was it a big, massive kind of monster thing who's just snapped, like, massive branches off on his way? That's how people sort of see when they had a hunting or whatever. So it's like,
wow.
And heard, like, thud, thud, thud kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know too much about it, but, yeah, it was always interesting. As a kid, I always remember looking up at the beautiful Maui Hau Monga and thinking, I wonder if that monster's up there. But
yeah, that's a beautiful place. You
walking track over it, but I think it's closed now, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Well, I might have to go spend some time there and see if I can get inspired for a local song. I think that's a good idea because a lot of my songs are sort of from the British Isles. I guess that's just because my heritage is from there and stuff, but it would be it'd be really cool to see that those folk stories land here in Aotearoa, and there's so many already, but it would be cool for me to tap into them.
There would be a lot, yeah, both from the Māori, you know, the Moriori and you know, the settlers as well.
Definitely.
Lots of different yarns about stuff.
It's definitely something I'd like to look into more, actually.
I'm sure you'll be able to dig some interesting stuff out of there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Colin. Holly, and good luck tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much.
See if I can make it down
there. Thanks for
having me. 7:30. All right. So it's at the Old School Arts Centre, 7:30, and you'll be performing, you'll be on the guitar with a microphone as well?
I will indeed, yep. And Britta will be on the violin and vocals, and my mum, Becky, will be on vocals as well. And then there's Ruth Power is playing after me, and then Kathy and the Music Lovers is on last, I think. So,
all right.
Yeah, it'll be a really good night.
And what's this iteration called? Dolly and the Hooves.
Oh, yes, Dolly and the Hooves, yeah.
Something just made up one day?
Yeah, literally just made up.
Instead of Holly and the Hooves, like, oh, no, let's call it Dolly and the Hooves.
Yeah, basically, exactly. That is what happened.
And the Hooves is Hooves?
Yeah, well, the Hooves, I guess, whoever's playing with me, whoever's playing with me.
Oh, gotcha, right.
Yeah, so they're my hooves. So I've got one of my hooves, Britta, my other hoof, who usually plays with me, isn't able to make it. But
right, okay.
One hoof. So Dolly and the Hoof, maybe. But actually, my mum's taking, she's another hoof, I guess.
Cool. And we're going to play a song, one of your songs now, right here on the station, by a band called Yeast, would you say? Yes.
East. Exactly. I know, it's a hard one to...
And this is two songs put together, is it?
Yeah, it's two songs put together. The first half of it is a cover of a song by her Make Believe band, another New Zealand folk band that I really like. It's called Lonely Heart Blues. And then the last half is just a little bit I made up called Ball and Chain.
All right. And this is when you were a duo?
Yeah, so this is back in the days with my friend Katie Riddle, who is, I used to play music with his East.
All right. Thanks again for coming in, and good luck tonight. I hope it really works out well, and I hope you get a big crowd. I think it should be a busy weekend, I think, with all the arts and
true.
Things going on and stuff. Do you do any other art sort of stuff, like paint or clay or anything like
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not.
Music's
your jam. I mean, I could do it. It won't look very good, but...
All right. Thanks again.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks for having me.
Here's a yeast. Yes. I still East. Can't pronounce it. East.
Yes, East. Exactly. Terrible
East.
Band name.
Here's East. Lonely Heart Blues and Ball and Chain. You going to play on this one tonight, do you reckon?
Oh, I actually hadn't planned on it, but maybe I will. Yeah.
Okay. How many songs actually are you expecting to kind of play?
Probably like sort of five or six. We've got 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.